Time once again for the Quincy Police Department Marine Unit's free basic boating safety courses. Once again, they're teaming up with the Massachusetts Environmental Police to offer these free courses here in Quincy. So Officer Bob Bell from the Police Department's Marine Unit is here once again to tell us all about it. Bob, good to see you again.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm good. It's been a few years now since we've been talking about this program.
Yeah, many.
Yeah. How long, do you know about how long it's been going on, roughly?
It seems like we've been doing it for 10 years or 10, so.
I bet you that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good to get the word out in early spring, mm-hmm. late winter, and seems like spring is here today.
I know. Well, anytime you come in, it's like, it must be springtime. Bob's here to talk about boating.
It's at least close.
Exactly. The biggest news we want to talk about today is kind of a change, right, for the boating licensing laws.
Right. The legislature, the state legislature passed a law, the Hanson-Malone Safe Boating Act, which is now going to require boat operators to have taken the boating safety class. It's going to be phased in over time, so everybody doesn't have to run out and do it right now.
Yes.
But starting in 2026, next spring of next year, if you were born after 1989, January 1st, 1989, you need to have the boating safety certificate with you while you're boating.
While you're boating, okay.
And then for people born before 1989, that's going to kick in 2 years later in the spring of 2028.
Okay.
So there's some time to do it. We offer in-person class, and there's also options to take it online if you can't make it to an in-person class.
Oh, is that right?
You can do it online.
Through Quincy Police or through the state?
It's through the Massachusetts Environmental Police.
Okay.
If you go onto their website, you can see all of the in-person classes, and there are links to the online versions of the class. One of the primary differences is the in-person class is free. You have to pay for the online class.
That's a big difference.
So you're paying for the convenience.
Yeah.
So it's actually free. You get us, or you can, you know, have some prepackaged thing online.
Well, hands down, we know what we want here. We want you guys in person. But, I mean, really, this is an ideal time to be talking about these classes here in Quincy, though, right? Because this could set you up for those requirements next year.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. If you get it done out of the way now, the card's good for your whole life. It doesn't expire.
Oh.
It's also good in other states that require the card. Mm-hmm. New Hampshire has required it for many years now. So we've had people coming to our class, and their primary reason was because they go up to Winnipesaukee in the summer, and they needed to have the card.
Sure.
So there is interchange amongst these standardized classes.
Okay. And do you know kind of how will it be administered? I mean, is there going to be a separate, like a registry of motor vehicles, registry of boating vehicles, or how that's going to work?
Well, it's not like a driver's license.
It's not, okay.
So it's a boating safety certificate.
It's what you've been giving out anyway, right?
Right.
So
there's no change from what we've been giving out. They give you a card. It looks like a credit card. It's got your picture on it.
Yep.
Your, vital information.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to carry that with you. So if you get stopped on the water for whatever reason, mm-hmm. You can show the officer that card or the Coast Guard that card, and then you'll be all set.
Okay, and it doesn't expire?
It does not expire.
And do you have to retest after a certain amount of time? Or?
No, it's a one-shot deal.
Wow, okay. Yeah,
so you can get it when you're 12. You have to be at least 12 years old to take the course.
Okay.
You can get it when you're 12, and it's good for the rest of your life.
Okay, all right.
Just try not to lose the card, because I think they want $20 for a replacement.
Oh, but of course, there has to be a card somewhere. Now, it makes me wonder, folks who've been boating all their lives but have never had one of these now have to do that?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, okay.
Even if you're like the old man in the sea,
right?
You're supposed to have this state-issued card.
Okay, all right.
So some people asked me, well, I took a Coast Guard auxiliary course 20 or 30 years ago. Does that count? And I've directed them to the Massachusetts Environmental Police. They have an email on their website.
Yes.
You can send them an email and ask them the question. They'll look you up and see if they had gotten you into their database. Some of the Coast Guard auxiliary courses were transferred into the state database. Some of them weren't.
I see. Okay. So it's best to check anyway.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So they are the Mass Environmental Police are the issuers of the certificates.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We teach the class
in
collaboration with them. They manage the whole thing, and we're instructors for them.
Okay. Curious, do any members of the Marine Unit have to now take the class to get these certificates?
I think the people that are in the Marine unit currently have already taken the class.
Okay.
But we did have a couple of new guys come in last year. So,
yep.
But they're going to be helping to teach the class, so
right.
that'll
qualify them big time.
Yes, they'll know the material well.
Exactly.
And they both came out of the Coast Guard, so
they know
what they're doing.
It just made me wonder. You know, it'd be like somebody who's been driving a car all their lives but never needed a license. All of a sudden, you need a license. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I actually went and checked the status of mine, because
yes.
Who knows where the card is.
Right. Well, you didn't need it. So.
Hopefully I have it somewhere.
Right. $20, Bob.
Yeah. I did take the course.
Okay.
And hopefully I don't have to fork over $20.
What does the Marine unit consist of now, actually, here in Quincy?
So there's three officers and the lieutenant, Lieutenant Gillen.
Yep.
So myself and two other officers, and we basically run the Marine unit. We have three different safe boats that we use to patrol the waters of Quincy. There's 26 miles of coastline,
yeah.
which seems surprising to many people. But if you think all the way from the Four River Bridge to the Neponset River Bridge,
right.
that's a lot of territory.
For sure, yeah, absolutely. A lot of little peninsulas, those are inlets. There's saltwater marshes, I'm sure, that you have to be familiar with as well. Lots going on. Any navigational updates that we can let folks know about that they need to be concerned about?
Well, the rocks and ledges are kind of still in the same place they were last
right.
year.
Right, yeah. No, obviously.
But there really hasn't been any changes.
Okay.
As part of the class, we talk about specifics of Boston Harbor. We point out trouble spots,
yep.
Just to give people a heads up, because it's not obvious. There are buoys and markers out there, but everything is not marked.
Right.
So we go over, you know, how to read a chart,
yep.
What to watch out for. Basically, the course is primarily directed to keep people safe on the water.
Absolutely, yeah. So why don't we dive into it then, and pardon the pun. Actually, the first course begins, we're recording this on March 11th, begins tonight, right?
Right,
yeah.
So I don't know when this is going to air.
Yeah.
If anybody happens to see it today, they can come down and we'll get them signed up for the class tonight. Otherwise, the next class starts in April. These two classes are Tuesday nights from
mm-hmm.
6 to 10 at the Kennedy Center. Each class consists of three sessions,
okay.
so you have to attend three consecutive weeks. And then our last class in May is going to be on Saturdays, where we hope to attract more of the younger crowd. That's going to be from 10 to 2 at the
okay.
Kennedy Center.
Okay. So 3 4-hour classes, so 12 hours of instruction.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We can't cover everything, but we do go quite in depth on things like safety equipment, life jackets, fire extinguishers, flares. We talk about lights on boats, talk about how to register your boat, where you have to register your trailer. We talk about how to trailer your boat.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into a little bit of knot tying, talk about how to launch your boat, how to tie your boat up to the dock. Pretty much cover all that stuff. But
yes.
The primary focus is really being safe. So we talk about life jackets. I brought a few with me here
today.
Yeah,
do a demonstration here if you can.
This is one we like to tell people about. This would be for an infant or a small child.
Yep.
Things to look for are this strap here, so you could, if the child falls in the water, you can easily pull them up out of the water.
Yes.
An important feature that you want to have on this type of life jacket is this strap that goes between the legs, so that when you pull the child out of the water, the child comes with the life jacket.
With them. Yes, exactly. Yep.
So yep. strap here, make sure it's done. Very important. You want to make sure the size of the life jacket is the right size for the person. They make an infant one, there's child. There are two different sizes of child based on how much the person weighs. Then they have adult life jackets. One new thing that's been on the market the last few years
yep.
is this belt life jacket. And it's very popular amongst stand-up paddleboard folks.
Oh, okay.
They are required to have a life jacket with them when they're paddleboarding. A lot of them don't know that. And this one is is really good because it really doesn't get in their way when they're trying to paddle. It is a CO2 charged inflator. It's not automatic because lots of times people on the paddleboard fall into the water, especially if they're like me. So you don't want it going off automatically. There are automatic ones, but it has a cord here. So if you go in the water and you need to deploy it, you pull that, and the CO2 will inflate it. Then you just put it around your neck, and you can float there until somebody needs to come to help you, or
you can rescue yourself, right?
Yeah,
you
can paddleboard. Yeah, you can self rescue.
Right.
Yeah. This is a Type 4 throwable device, similar to the Life Ring.
Yes.
People use them as seat cushions, which is okay, as long as they don't get too packed down.
Okay.
But if somebody is in the water struggling, you can easily throw this to them. This is required on boats 16 feet of length and greater.
I see, okay. And one for every passenger?
Yes. Okay. You need to have a regular wearable life jacket for every passenger on the boat. This does not count as a wearable.
I see.
This is in addition to one for every person on the boat.
Okay.
We have float coats for...
Familiar with the float coat.
When it's chilly out.
Yes.
This is a life jacket that you wear.
Yes. Yeah.
And this counts. This would count as a life jacket.
It does. Okay.
So it keeps you warm in a cool winter breeze. It'll also keep you warmer if you end up in the water.
Yeah, it is. It is heavy.
It's definitely good for warmer weather, not cooler weather. They make a inflatable that goes around your neck, which I forgot to take out.
No, we've shown that to folks here on the program before. That I think would be ideal for somebody who doesn't like to be constricted.
Yeah, right. It goes around your neck, one strap around your waist. Two things that come down here, and then that is automatic. So if you fall in the water, it'll go off automatically. You don't have to worry about pulling the cord.
Okay.
You just have to make sure that the CO2 cartridge is installed.
Yeah. And are these just for motor power boats, Bob, or what are like canoes, kayaks? What's the requirement?
If you're on a paddleboard, you have to have a life jacket with you. You don't have to be wearing it, but of course, we recommend it's better to be wearing it.
Sure.
If you are on a jet ski,
everybody
on the jet ski is required to be wearing the life jacket. Okay. If you're towing a water skier or a tuber, the person on the tube or the water ski is required to have a life jacket on. Canoes and kayaks, you have to have one with you, and you have to be wearing it between September 15th and May 15th of every year because the water's cold.
Sure.
And just a reminder, the water is cold. Right now the water in the Town River and Boston Harbor is about 37 degrees. So even though we're going to have some really beautiful spring days here, I mean, today I think it's going to be almost 60, and soon we're going to have some 70 degree days. People just have to remember that the water is still freezing, and if they end up falling out of their boat or in the water for somehow, hypothermia is going to set in quickly, so they really need to be aware of that. And these are all things that we talk about in the class.
In the class, yeah, absolutely.
Some of the other things, sort of new. This is a flare. You're required to carry three of these flares on your boat. The problem with these is they're actually on fire when you set them off. So you need to hold them off the side of the boat so any hot liquid doesn't catch your own boat on fire. You need to have three, and they expire every 3 years. Costs about $35-$40 for a pack of three.
Okay.
And then at the end of 3 years, people don't know what to do with them because nobody takes them back.
Oh, really?
So that's a problem.
That's a problem.
So we've been telling people to get these electronic flares, which just take a couple of batteries.
Mm-hmm.
They never expire. You just need to make sure your batteries are good.
Mm-hmm.
And this will float. You can, if it ends up in the water, it'll float. You can tie it up off of something and raise it up on a halyard on a sailboat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely bright.
It's a strobe light.
It's a strobe light, and it signals SOS.
Oh, very good. Okay.
So you could buy one of these probably for about $80, and it comes, so this would be used at night.
And it never expires.
Never expires, okay. So you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Just make sure your batteries are good. And it comes with one of these flags, which is a distress flag, so during the day, you can hang this off your boat somehow, and people will be able to see that and know that you're in distress and come and help you.
And obviously you teach in the class what that flag means, right?
Yes.
Show folks, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so people who take the class will know if they see it, somebody's in trouble.
Somebody's in trouble, yeah.
Yeah.
It's another reason the classes are so vital.
Right. We talk about the boat radio, the VHF radio, how to call the Coast Guard for help, what type of information you need. We talk about boating checklists, what to make sure is working before you head out on the water. We talk about how to fuel up, how to avoid any gas vapor explosions. Mm-hmm. 12 hours, we cover a lot of stuff.
I was going to say, for sure. Do you cover at all proper maintenance of your boat? I'm thinking specifically like, bilge pump emptying, things of that nature.
So that would be on the checklist to make sure your bilge pump is functioning.
Okay.
We talk about before you launch your boat. Some boats have plugs in the back of the transom to drain them when they come out of the water. You need to make sure that plug's back in before you put the boat in the water.
Yes.
Otherwise, your bilge pump will be going crazy.
Yeah, you're taking on water pretty quickly. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So we do talk about things like that. Check the oil in your engine. Have some basic tools with you, but basically, we discuss making sure everything's running right before you leave the dock. It's a lot easier to fix things either before you launch your boat or before you leave the dock than if something goes wrong and you're out there bouncing around.
Yeah. Do boats have to undergo a safety inspection like a car does?
They are not required to undergo a safety inspection like a car. The Coast Guard Auxiliary will do a courtesy safety examination of your boat. You can contact them. They'll send somebody down, or sometimes they just set up at a launch ramp and they'll offer it to people. Mm-hmm. They go through all your safety equipment and make sure you have everything. And there's no jeopardy. Like if you don't have something, they're not going to write you a ticket or anything like that.
Okay.
They just tell you that, hey, you need to have this and you should get it before you go boating.
For information, yeah.
And then they have these stickers that you can put on your boat that says you've had a courtesy exam, which tells the enforcement authorities, like, oh, well, this person at least cares enough to have gotten a courtesy exam.
Exactly, yeah. Or wants to know, right?
If
everything's up to par, if they have a problem, yeah.
Yeah. If you build your own boat.
I hadn't thought of that. Okay.
you have to have it inspected by the environmental police.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So a lot of people build skiffs and then they have to bring them down, have one of the environmental police officers inspect it, and then they will be issued a hull identification number, which they can put into the boat, because every boat has to have a hull identification number.
Okay. Do you have to register a handmade boat?
Yes, if it has an engine,
it
has to be registered.
Okay.
So it's more things that we talk about in the class.
Yeah. Like
what boats need to be registered? Sailboats that don't have engines don't have to be registered. Then we talk about what kind of boat has to have a title.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to it.
It sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of that stuff is a little bit dry, but people need to know it before they can register their boat and go out and use it.
Yeah. Does registration renew just like a car registration?
Every 2 years,
you
have to renew your registration.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So it's something to be aware of, right? Check that sticker and make sure.
Yeah. We talk about how to put the numbers and letters on your boat.
Yes.
What side the registration decal goes on.
MS whatever. Right.
Right? Yeah. MS 1234, AB, how you space it out. Which direction you put it. We've seen all sorts of, because people do it by themselves and they don't know if they haven't taken the class. They'll put it, the right direction on one side and then they'll go to the other side and put it backwards or they'll put the sticker on the wrong side.
Mm-hmm.
We explain it to them.
Yeah. No, it's all good stuff to know. I mean, if you want to be a responsible boater and do it correctly. Because everybody's responsible for each other out there in the water, right? I know that's what you teach all the time.
Yeah. It's not like when you're on land, if you get a flat tire or you crash, the police, ambulance, fire department will be there, like in Quincy, under 5 minutes.
2 minutes.
Yeah. But on the water, it depending on where you are, it could be 20 or 30 minutes before somebody comes to help. So we kind of preach self-sufficiency and being careful and having all the gear that you need and making sure your boat's in good operating condition.
Sure. Do you have to have a radio on a boat?
You're not required to have a VHF radio, but it's a very good idea that way. And we recommend a handheld, waterproof, floatable VHF radio. Talk about that in the class too. You can get one for about $100, and that could save your life. If you end up in the water, your boat sinks, your boat goes on fire, whatever. If you're in the water, it's waterproof, right? It floats, so you can still call for help on, on that.
And your phone's going to sink right to the bottom.
It's probably not going to work once it gets wet.
Exactly, right?
So, it's a really good idea. We highly recommend it, even for people who are out kayaking on a sea kayak, that type of thing. It's good to listen to the radio. You can hear if anybody else is having an emergency. We always have our radios on channel 16, listen for emergencies. And we have our radio on channel 13, which is the commercial traffic, so we know where the ferries are and where the tankers are. And that can be helpful for just regular boaters as well. If you hear that there's a tanker coming in the Four River, you know, all right, it's going to be here. I got to get out of the way. I'm fishing, but I got to get out of the way.
Yes, they can't turn those things on a dime.
No.
Or stop them on a dime, I'm sure, right?
Correct.
Exactly. So, I mean, a lot of good information, really.
We cover a ton of stuff.
Behooves folks, if they plan to be out on the water, even if they're not driving the boat or if they don't even own a boat, they're going to be a passenger on a boat.
That's very true, Joe. Yeah. We've had instances where only one person on the boat knew how to drive it. And they fell out of the boat, and everybody else had no idea what to do. So it's a great option for crew members, spouses who maybe haven't taken an active role in operating the boat, to take this class. We do have a lot of couples come together, so both of them can be aware of how to call for help, how to stop the boat. Lots of stuff.
Personal watercraft, Bob, do those have to be registered?
Yes, they do. They're considered a Class A motorboat, and they do have to be registered. We were talking about the MS numbers. And
yes.
Sometimes we see people, they'll have a rainbow-colored, beautiful paint job, and then they put these like multicolored letters on there, and they're completely unreadable. So that's one of the things the class talks about is, the letters have to be contrasting color to the background of the hull. They have to be 3 inches high.
So it's all regulated then.
Yeah, you get down in the weeds.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Do you talk at all about, do folks even boat at night? Is that a thing?
We do talk about boating at night. Yeah. We talk about what the lights on a boat are for.
Sure.
How to tell what somebody else is doing based on the light pattern that you see. So a lot of people boat at night. Some people don't plan on boating at night, but they end up boating at night because of whatever happened. They got delayed or they broke down or something like that. Boats do have to have lights, and we go into the class about what the requirements are and what they mean.
Okay. And again, these are all free, so you're getting valuable information, really.
It's just, if you have the time to come down and take the class, most of the people that have gone through it are pretty happy at the end of it, and they say, wow, that was a great class, I learned a lot. And we encourage an interactive class, so people ask questions.
I was just going to ask about that,
and we try to team teach it, but we've had people that had their captain's license in the class, there's some very interesting, some people don't know anything, some people have been boating all their life, like you said. So it's quite a diverse thing, and it seems like everybody takes something away from the class.
Sure. I'm guessing you and the instructors as well, right?
Definitely. We usually learn something from each class as well.
Sure. So three separate courses that are being offered again, right? So March 11th, 18th, and 25th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Kennedy Center. Then April 1st, 8th, and 15th, those are Tuesday nights. Again, 6 to 10 at the Kennedy Center. And in May, the 3rd, 10th, and 17th, those are Saturdays, 10 to 2, also at the Kennedy Center.
Yes.
And sign up through the Mass Environmental Police, mass.gov/environmental police. We'll take you there.
Right. You can just Google Mass Boating Safety Class.
Okay.
skip past the paid ones and go to the Massachusetts Environmental Police. And then you can sign up. I think you're gonna post that document.
And we will.
It has the class codes for each class.
Yes.
So you need to use that class code in order to sign up for the class.
To get the right class. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else we should share with folks right now?
One last thing. If you sign up for the class, what the information you put into the computer is going to be on your card, so make sure you do it right.
Check your spelling.
We've had people come with their last name first and vice versa.
Oh, okay.
Wrong date of birth, spelling. Yeah, so please be careful when you do it.
Just use a little caution. Double check and have somebody else check it for you, too.
Yes.
Okay. About how long does it take for them to get their certificates after they complete the class?
It shouldn't take. Ideally, we'll have them for them at the end of the class.
Okay.
Last year, the environmental police, they had this printer that prints the cards, and it wasn't functioning, so they had to be sent afterwards.
But
we hope to get them by the last class, so we can give them out after the test. There is a test that people have to take on the last night.
Okay.
It's not too difficult. And then they get their card. If not, they would be mailed to them shortly thereafter.
Okay. All right. But again, the big news is the new law, right?
Yeah. They're going to phase in the requirement that people have to have the boating safety class, whether it's in person or online. And you need to carry that card with you when you're boating so you can show it to any enforcement officers.
All right. Thanks so much, Bob. Great to talk to you.
My pleasure, Joe. Always a pleasure to come in and talk
to you. Yeah, likewise. Have a happy, safe boating season.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.